Welcome everyone to Rouse's April ordinary meeting. I'll open the meeting with the acknowledgement of country. Rouse County Council acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land upon which we work and live. We pay our respects to the elders of the past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge their continuing connection to country, who will guide us on our shared journey to the future. Apologies of leave of absence. We have all attendance. Any leave of absence requested?
Have we got anything in May?
We're going to Sydney in May.
Leave of absences for May.
So we've got a workshop in May, but the Flood Management Australia Conference, Auswater, either side. So the week before, then there's the workshop.
We need to record them or not? We're right.
We're all fine.
Yep.
Sorry.
I emailed you that I'm taking my long service leave, that so I will miss meetings, but I can't remember whether we put it through a meeting or not. So let me just quick. I'm away for June and July.
For June and July?
Yeah.
We can be down here at the May meeting, but June and July, if we do.
Yeah. Well, the only council meeting we have absence will be for June. July's the workshop.
But just to clarify, the workshop is still the 17th, no?
Check my calendar. I haven't changed the workshop, so it should still be the third Wednesday, which is the 7th of May.
Okay, thanks.
Everyone good? Item 4, confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting. Could I get a...
Yep.
Lindjai, second to Councillor Robb. Put that motion, all those in favour. Disclosure of interest. Any council have a disclosure of interest? The general manager, any member been handling on now? Matters of urgency, Bill. Notice of motion, nil. I move to page 5. Item 8.1. Budget review statement for the quarter ending 31st of March 2023. Do I have a mover, please? Councillor Humphreys?
Yeah.
And the Councillor Lawman?
Yeah, Councillor. It all looks good to me. I don't have anything to add. I'm happy to move it as written.
I had Councillor Humphreys as a mover.
Oh, sorry.
Councillor Lyon is a second.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Councillor Humphreys.
Thanks very much. Thanks for all the detail in the report. I commend the positive approach in the capital works area there, where the management have taken the opportunity to review all the detail. The adjustments table, a couple of very interesting, great to see the grants. There's some spattering of new grants there. Very interesting ones. I thought the Washdown Bay, sometimes the little things are the big things, but I thought the Washdown Bay grant funding was really good. The levies, it's good to see all the grant funding there, levies. I had a question around, I was curious about the Berate the Mite in the beehives. It looks like a good partnership there, and that money's coming back to council because we were able to have staff attend that. That was page 10. Could I just have a comment on that one?
So, we were approached as part of that rapid response, and it was just covering staff's time and cost, similar to events that happened in our region, like the Yellow Crazy Ant. So it's a similar type of response. So, yeah, we had a couple of staff involved as well.
Yeah, thank you. And I think it's really good that the RWL vehicle has now been transferred to the dams and the treatment operations. All in all, it's really good detail. Thanks very much.
That's the line.
Question.
The rope.
No, just on, I like looking at the benchmarks and that service cover ratio. I note that it's a bit worse, and I know why, because we're borrowing more, but the next item we're talking about borrowing to replenish reserves. Does that artificially make that look worse because we're borrowing to replenish reserves? And in the next item, I'll probably ask why we're doing that.
the general manager?
The short answer is yes. So essentially, we don't meet that reserve ratio. And we do replenish our reserves through borrowing, or that's what we're targeting to do. And the alternative is obviously more of a price increase to the constituents. So we're trying to balance it by, I guess, staggering when we get those increases, we pass on, charge more to the constituent councils. Otherwise, we'd be doing a higher increase now. Up front, but as it has, we're basically steadying it out over a longer period of time.
Can I ask now about the next one? Is it not? You mind if I ask the question now for the next item, which relates to this?
We'll cover it off if it relates.
Wouldn't the reserves, if we use the reserves, there's no cost, and if we borrow to replenish reserves, there's an increased cost, but wouldn't that make the cost higher because we're borrowing to?
The short answer is yes. So we have to maintain a reserve balance. So obviously we do earn interest on that because it's invested.
Yeah.
And then we're borrowing. So yes, it would be that margin between the two. But in order to meet our covenants around loans, we have to maintain that reserve balance.
Okay, so just a bit of a... it makes no sense to me that we have a reserve to top up what we need, and then we borrow money that's more expensive than the interest we're earning on the reserve to top up the reserve. So we're losing by doing that. Why can't we just let the reserve grow back up again without borrowing?
This is a ratio.
Because we need to spend. We've got the capital works program coming up.
Yeah.
So we can't, in a perfect world, we could store away more in our reserves than spend it. But because of the timing of what we want to spend more up front, we need to borrow. And unfortunately, the way the loan covenants we have today are structured is we have to maintain that reserve balance. So it's frustrating because you're right that we lose that margin between what we're paying for borrowing and what we get in return for the reserves.
It's also risk too, because if we don't borrow and we draw down on those reserves or need it because there's an emergency, but we the reserves act as a bit of a buffer associated with that. Our ability to we can't do emergency loans without resolutions and all those types of things as well, so there's a timing factor there too. So there's a number of things. At the highest level, sheer logic, it's not ideal. But it isn't, it's just the difference in those two interest rates.
Yeah, of course.
The cost.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Councillor Roan.
Thank you, Chair. Congratulate the staff on the numbers before us today. Obviously, it's probably been one of the most challenging periods in terms of trying to meet forecasts ahead of unexpected events. And it's also obviously caused so many changes to the way we do things, particularly decisions around the water laboratories, the accelerated move to Gallons Road and so forth. So great numbers. And I draw attention particularly to the KPIs on page 24, which shows of the five key measures there, we are in the green on three. That means exceeding the benchmark. And we're in the red on two. However, it should be noted with those that they are in line with what we forecast. I just wanted to ask a question around that through you. In terms of the fact they are within our forecast, are we happy where they sit within that forecast, and what's the expectation going forward? And the two that are in that category are the operating performance and the debt service cover ratio.
So I'll just pass over to Jeff because we've modelled this.
So it sort of links onto what we're covering before, because we have substantial reserves at the moment, then we feel it's okay to be running an accounting deficit from our performance there, and that is forecast largely through the forward line. In terms of debt as a cover ratio. Two is very conservative. So we're forecasting between that 1% and 2%. Again, ideally it would be higher, but being higher means a higher charge back to the constituents for water. So it's not ideal, but because we've got such healthy reserves, it's a conscious decision to not be charging more back to the constituents for water.
Thanks, Jeff, and thanks, Chair. Just one other question on page 22. The list there of numbers spent on consultancy, is that an annual figure or is that a quarter figure?
Gentlemen, I'm pretty sure that's year to date.
Year to date.
Yes.
22. The rapid, by the way, that's the reconciliation action plan?
Correct.
Just in relation to that, obviously, we have high-level advice around reconciliation and Indigenous affairs. I'm just wondering, do we have any knowledge at this stage re the voice proposal, which is, we're told, will have regional and local voices? Do we have any understanding, or do our experts have any understanding? And are they looking at, I suppose, the impacts and what impact it could have in terms of Rouse operations going forward and decisions that are made and the input that would be required? Is there any knowledge of that at this stage? Or
from what I've, and I've been thinking away on local government, but there just doesn't seem to be enough detail out there yet. I think that will come in the next 6 months or so. That's the way I'm reading it anyway. But I don't know, the general manager may have.
Through the chair, no, there hasn't been any conversations yet or any detail of what that would look like. So we've actually got a RAP advisory group next Friday. So the Bonnies and business paper, and that'll be issued tomorrow, but there's been no conversation to date in that area. In terms of the advisory group, I just want to make sure it's made up of representatives from the local land councils, community representatives and things like that, and it's in accordance to provide guidance to Rouse's reconciliation plan. So it's not a panel of experts about items of that outside of our area. It's really around our reconciliation plan and having that connection back. Maybe. So I just want to make sure everyone's on the same page there.
And I really think we shouldn't be just what's the impact. We should be looking also what's the benefits coming out of the borders.
I mean, it's only going to federal parliament, though, around federal legislation. I'm not sure how it would.
There's also like the engagement decision too. So,
as part of that,
yes, I've read this local and regional voices too. So, I don't know. Clearly, we might find out.
In terms of how that goes up the chain, I don't think it's going to impact on decision making here, unless there's a federal context.
I don't think we know.
Well, I think it's safe to assume, given that it's giving advice ultimately to the federal parliament regarding federal legislation, that it's not, unless that federal legislation is going to impact on it. I don't see how it would have a local content. Just from what I've seen so
far. I guess it could have, through the chair, if I may, I guess it could have an impact if we're talking about land, for example, native title claim, we're already feeling the impacts of that. And that, so grants, it could have an impact on grants, federal grants locally. So we just don't know exactly. It hasn't been, as the chair said, we haven't had sufficient information to know what the knock-on effect may be, could be. So more detail.
Right. Any other?
Apologies, Mr. Chair. I had a question around the Lismore levy, the 1.3 being invoiced to Rouse. Just use the word expected in the detail. Is there any doubt that money will come from the natural disaster funding?
So, through the chair, I'll just pass over to Andrew because Andrew's been working on that one. What page was that again?
Page 10.
Page 10.
Yeah, so that's regarding the disaster recovery funding arrangements. So there's no real concern that we won't receive that funding. It's just a matter of providing that evidence to Public Works and under the normal arrangements. So, yeah, we're not too concerned about that. So we're working with Lismore City Council staff around that to gather that evidence at the moment.
Thanks. I've got a question about that, if I may. So the funds go to the Lismore Council because they've managed the levy, but we just got the responsibility for the levy, for the maintenance of it. Well, so it goes, it'll be managed by Lismore Council, right?
Through the chair, this $1.3 million is around the repairs after the flood and separate to that money that's been allocated through the CSIRO or the NRRI.
Oh, yes.
So this is just for the repair. But Lismore has incurred the cost to switchboards and rewire pumps, and then that'll be recovered. So Rouse will basically collate all that information and submit that to Public Works and receive that funding and then distribute that back to Lismore
for repairs
of the...
We actually get to do the work.
Well, no, we haven't in this particular case for the repairs of the levee for the electrical components. Lismore's managed that themselves with their own contractors and project managers. We've got a small responsibility for one site near the RSL, but otherwise Lismore's taken the bulk of the responsibility. So they'll invoice us, we'll pass that cost on to Public Works, and then Public Works will pay us, and then we'll give it back to Lismore. So
it's a bit of a roundabout way.
That's because of the original setup.
Yes.
A flooded area. They couldn't get the grant for the levy, so it had to come through Rouse. And Rouse in those days did the right thing, and now it's a bit of a spider's web.
We've got at the depreciation in and everything else, which is a real problem for us. But I'm very pleased to see we've got a meeting coming up in June. To try and sort this out once and for all, I hope.
I was just going to add, it's an accounting anomaly that we have to recognise the payable, but we can't recognise the receivable from Public Works yet. So it's really just a pass-through, but there's a timing difference and we can't recognise the receivable, but we have to recognise the payable.
Well, we have great accounts.
You mentioned that one that we have a small responsibility for. Why do we have to fix one board that someone knocked down when they knocked down the RSL?
A little bit of more facts came to the light after we did some investigation around the RSL and the demolition of the old building there. So the damage that was done, so the switchboard wasn't pulled down as part of the demolition. It was... the switchboard was pulled down, but it was already part of the flood. But we've found that the power source to the pump was on another pole that we thought it was on the building. So the damage that was caused by the demolition was relatively insignificant, and most of it will be covered under the Public Works Disaster Recovery funding arrangements.
It just shows the confusion and the difficulties associated with that, because the natural disaster, the NRRI funding of the $30 million, Rouse didn't put that application in, Lismore put that application in, but it's on officially Rouse assets. So it's hence why we've got to have those conversations and get this sorted. Every time we have these types of situations, it just highlights again that what we've got at the moment is very complicated. It's difficult to manage for everyone. It's historical arrangements that need to be cleaned up.
Any other debate or questions? Councillor Humphries, rather than the vote. Put that motion in. All those in favour? Carried. Page 28, 8.2. Public Exhibition Operational Plan, incorporating their 2023-2024 budget and revenue policy. Could I have a mover, please? Rob?
Yep, second.
Edward. Councillor Rob?
Yeah, just putting on an exhibition. I looked through this and the information is, as usual, very good. And I recognise the briefings that we had to get us up to date on what was going on. And I'm happy to see if we get any feedback on this. I think the only concern will be
that we're spending big, but we're doing the capital expenditure we need to do now to be all right in the future.
Councillor Cadwallon, please.
I've struggled with this.
I'll come back to you. Any other councillors?
I don't have anything, no.
Councillor Joy, are you going to ask a question about the borrowings? Or?
Oh, you can.
Councillor Long.
Well, just curious about, I think it was the 10-year capital expenses. Obviously, we see some peaks there. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's just the normal.
What page are you on?
At the moment, I'm looking at the whole organisation, page 30.
It was $180 million across the 10-year period.
There's a couple of peaks. I mean, you've got 2026, $37 million of capital expense, $40 million in 2029. But I think we've had a presentation on that already, and it's just sort of, we're just an expensive business. Like, it's just, there's just a lot of like things. It's not, I don't know how much of that is actually to do with the future water project or what.
So through the chair, majority of it is future water driven when it comes to that. So those big lumpy years.
But that's the groundwater schemes.
Groundwater schemes, correct. Yeah. And there'll be some, the practical reality is it's a financial model when it's in those years. There'll be a bit of smoothing out either side. But in terms of the model at the moment, that's just to be able to obviously drive our long-term financial plan and revenue and things like that. But there's always a bit of smoothing out one side or another, because you don't go from a $45 million spend 1 year down to 15 and then back to a 35. Like you do the ability to get resources and contracts and those types of things provide some smoothing.
A lot of this over 10 years is crystal balling, because look what's happened over the last 3 or 4 years with costs and everything. So, you know, but you have to do it, and you just do it to the best ability on the day.
And we've tried to be quite upfront for the community and councillors in terms of page 29 with that caveat to provide that bit of, there is a degree of uncertainty. And as we go through year by year, we'll keep tightening that up as we do further investigations and works. But we have to provide a long-term financial plan and the best available information as part of those budgets and that. So that's what we have at the moment. But as we do further work, they'll get tightened up and reforecast as part of that process.
And when it says here, the assumptions as of July 21 accommodates the change relating to the Dunedin Dam investigation studies. Do we have any update on that time frame-wise in terms of when that, because I know there was talk at the start of this term whether or not we would be through that process by the end of this term, and it's a shortened term. Do we have an update on
it? Through the chair, so we actually got an update going to the RAPAG meeting next week, but essentially we intend to hopefully have a consultant on board by the middle of the year for the Aboriginal Culture and Heritage work, and hope that that'll be a 12-month sort of piece of work.
So combined with everything else, the answer is no, it'll be the next term before we see anything. But that 12 months takes us through to July, yeah. 3 months now.
And then we've got caretaker of the month or things like that. So we'll start to get those
in. That's also not the only study we're doing.
No, but there wasn't that preliminary, and then the environmental and other studies could be done post.
So there was two components. That was the environmental assessment and the cultural heritage. So both of them will be happening. I just don't know. I can't recall the last update, the timing of the...
They'll both happen
concurrently. Yeah.
Reasonably concurrently, but I guess the focus has been on that cultural heritage work for the time being.
But we haven't awarded the...
No. Neither of them have been awarded, no.
Okay. I've got a question. Has the community consultation taken place about the Tiagra groundwater?
Through the chair, no, not. So we're starting to develop our comms and engagement when it comes to future water in general. So it's not just... Tiagra, it's about providing updates of where we are with our current programs and things like that, but we haven't commenced yet in Tiagra in terms of work there. So our focus has been on the Austinville sites, as well as the drought works out at Woodburn, as well as the preliminary work for the cultural heritage and biodiversity investigation. So that's where we are at the moment. Through the chair, Andrew, when are we proposing to do some works in Tiagra?
The next financial year is to do some preliminary investigations. So it's the intention.
Yeah, far away.
Following on from Councillor's question, that area, native title, has a request to the native title holders, the Arapal, been made to meet or start that discussion? Because, you know, that will be the, I guess, before you do any community consultation, I would imagine that that would have had to be discussed. Yeah.
So it hasn't happened to date. We're not at a point where we know what we're going to be doing in terms of the investigations.
Yeah.
But that will happen prior to us doing any work.
Okay. Councillor Bruin.
The proposed acquisition of the integration of the water supplies from Wardell and Mullumbimby, where does that fall within the forecasting? Is that for future water or is it just an asset purchase? And secondly, could you give us an update on those?
So through the chair, the only acquisition we're looking at is Marram Creek and that part. Mullumbimby's got nothing to involve in that. We've been requested by Ballina Council to provide an update to their water and sewer committee about what future water is, because they're considering their long-term options for Mullum at the moment, but there's no...
To Byron, sorry.
Wrong councils. Right, that's
wrong. Sorry, looking at you.
sorry about that. But we've, in terms of Marram, we've kicked off conversations. Most of the assets are pretty clear. However, there is a potentially stranded asset that if Marram comes over to Rouse, Ballin has got some concerns of it potentially being stranded. So we're in those conversations of how best to manage that trunk main. So that's where we're at there. We're just between the organisations.
And is that budgeted under future water or...?
Correct.
Yeah.
Sorry, through the chair. When you say being stranded, can you just elaborate on that, what you mean by that?
So it doesn't serve purpose to Rouse, but from a Ballina point of view, it isn't part of the traditional handover point where we would have a service reservoir where we'd connect to their system. So it's a bit of an asset that's kind of out of sync to how we normally do the arrangements, and it's how best to manage that, because from Rouse's point of view, obviously we're only interested in the assets that make sense from a bulk water point of view, but Ballina's looking at, well, hang on a minute, how do we manage our operations and risks where there's a trunk main that made sense when the system was provided from there, but if it's an integrated system, it's still customer, so it still needs to be maintained, so we can't abandon that, but does it make best sense to be part of Rouse or does it make best sense to be part of Ballina? So it's just it's not part of the traditional arrangements that we've had, so we've got to sort that out.
So you're talking about an interim arrangement there, because there's a reservoir in the pipeline for the industrial estate of Russell.
Correct, but there's still customers that need to be catered for and connected to. So there's a bit of engineering, because we, as part of that, we would be changing the way that network operates. So and bringing different service reservoirs and things like that. So we've got to maintain services for those existing customers, and it's how best to do that. Is that through Rouse or is that through Ballina? From Rouse's perspective, traditionally we don't see ourselves as a retailer, even though we do have some retails. We're predominantly a bulk water provider. So it doesn't really fit 100% in our remit, but at the same time I can understand why Ballina has, well, hang a minute, doesn't really suit them, where that would normally be a connection at a service reservoir, not halfway with a trunk line. Okay. So it's just, like I said, it's a little bit abnormal, and we just got to work through about how do we best accommodate that on both sides.
Yep. So. Thanks for that.
Through the chair, just following on from that, is that a similar view from Rouse's perspective around Laverty's Gap and that Mullumbimby water supply, like I imagine it would it also come under the idea of a stranded asset for?
So there's a couple of different things when it comes to something like Laverty's Gap. So what we're talking about, so we're a bulk water provider, so treatment plants and reservoirs and those things are our bread and butter. Laverty's Gap is that, and that's the work that Byron's going for at the moment. What's the long-term picture of that? Is it in the ability to provide water for the future, the water security, what works are involved? Is it cheaper and more cost-effective to use NICAP, for example, in the existing trunk mate? All those things are a part of that overall conversation. We haven't even got to that level of detail yet. What we've been asked is, what options are available? Byron's going through that options at the moment, looking at their various options and the costs associated. Because all these things, there's the practical reality and then there's the cost associated with it. And that's the stuff that we've got to... Byron can't make those assumptions on our behalf and we can't make that on their behalf. So we've got to work together as two organisations. So short answer is we're just not at that detail yet to make a decision.
You're going to have a fun day when you come over and meet our water and sort of...
I'm expecting a lot of questions.
All right. Any other questions?
Yeah, the ones I had earlier were already answered, but I had one more on page 32. Section 64 income, council's second largest income. How we're spiking for the next 3 years by a few mil and then it drops off. Is that a spike because of development coming from the flood recovery, or is that expected normally and then we drop off? Because I was under the impression we were going to have a lot more coming in subdivisions and everything like that.
So I'll pass over to Jeff if he's got that detail.
I think, to be honest with you, the longer term is, the shorter term is more based on what we have in more recently, and the longer term is still more of a historical trend. So the short answer is that the further you go out, the less accurate it is. So it's probably not.
We're looking at pipeline for the next 3 years and then guessing the rest for now?
Pretty much. And even the first 3 years is not as scientific as it should be. It's something that we're quite reminded of what we get through from the constituent councils. And beyond that. It's a good point of it. Probably it shouldn't probably go down like that, but it's not robust though, to go out there.
Just one more if I may. So if we get a spike in, because the NRRC is saying they've got, I think, 30 subdivisions or something coming on. So if that happens, will we see a spike in Section 64s? Is that what
we should expect? Chair, we do, but it's a timing thing too, because they may be approved and it takes quite a while before those fundings come through. So there's the forecast, there's approvals, and then there's when the reality of that's actually collected and comes through as well. So that's why there's a lot of things that play into that source of funds. And there can be delays of, quite a large period of time.
That wasn't me.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Yeah, it was my phone, sorry, vibrating.
Any matters to be raised? Councillor Robb, for right of reply.
Thank you.
Put that motion in, all those in favour. Great. Now I've got page 131 and 9.1. Arrangements for the Lismore Levy Scheme. You can move it, please. Councillor Cadwell, the seconder.
Yeah.
Councillor Bruin.
We've already discussed.
131.
Okay. Yes, paper, you go straight to it.
I could just put it in my sort of on the box.
Eventually.
There it
is. It's a legacy issue, and I'm very pleased that we've got a meeting coming up because we do need to get this sorted because it affects our people dramatically. Particularly appreciation stacks. So, yep, happy with that. Thank you for the update.
Any other comments, questions? Just make one comment. It'll be good for the general manager to actually be able to lock in with a long, hopefully a long-serving general manager, because
doesn't exist.
He makes a bit of ground with other general managers, and then they leave, and it's just can't get the constant flow. So hopefully we'll have a result come out of this. And I don't expect it to be straight away, but there'll be a lot of doing and throwing. But hopefully, and it's for both councils, not only Rouse. It's for we need to get something put down.
We do.
Councillor Cadwallon, put that motion. All those in favour? Carried.
Going well so far, though.
Hey?
Going well so far, though.
It is.
So far, so good.
So far, so good.
He's really good.
Over the page 233, information reports. Could I get a mover, please?
Yep.
Councillor Njai and Councillor Humphreys. Councillor? Any other councillors? Councillor Humphreys?
I understand why the Molesworth Street business or the cultural centre had to be closed down, but I know that.
What page are we?
Oh, sorry, page right at the top somewhere. Page 156.
Yep.
We all understand that we will keep the foot on the pedal for those important initiatives that we were planning to go ahead with in the cultural centre.
That's the next item.
Is that? No, I think you're removing the group.
Sure. Right, I get it. Okay. My apologies.
Thank you.
Did you want any questions?
No. I just wanted to make that comment because I know that it was important to councillors at the time that we went into that agreement with Lismore. We were very disappointed when we had to depart from
it.
And it is really important to keep the foot on the pedal to make sure that we follow through with the reconciliation plan and communications and engagement strategy. Thank you.
Councillor Cabot.
Just further to that, not sure where I read it, but that we're probably in our commercial portfolio, that we're getting rent on the two spaces downstairs, but we're not only getting rent on one, aren't we? And it said in the report we're receiving rent for both.
I'll have to take that one on notice. Okay. It could be a time, I just can't recall the exact details on that one, so I'll take that on notice and provide an update. And I can get that information.
Our portfolio of rent. That's where I'm.
Yeah, I'll confirm and I'll get back to you.
And just further to that, in relation to the closure of that facility, I was lucky enough to go down there and spend some time with the people working there. And again, I think it has to be noted or acknowledged how well that was managed. Like, when the facility was no longer there, those staff to be able to continue to work within our community and be really present on the ground, I think we'll pay back tenfold for our community over years to come, and it will be great to have a new place for that to happen. But I think it needs to be acknowledged that despite losing that facility, we did not lose those connections.
Thank you.
A further question on that. So the space that was set aside in the former NRMA office downstairs, has that proceeded as expected?
So through the chair, it is. It's a bit slow, but it is proceeding.
Thanks.
Any other business or matters for information? I'll put that motion in. All those in favour? Carried. I believe that brings us to the confidential matters. Need a motion to go into closed council.
Yes.
Councillor Gordon and Councillor Cadwallader. General manager, has been any written?
Nil reserves.
Nil, and there's no gallery. I'll put that motion. All those in favour? Carried. General Manager, could you read the resolutions from closed committee, please?
Yep. Item one, supply and installation of smart metering and installation backflow prevention devices, contract RCC 1022-0011. Recommendation that Council 1 note the selective tendering process has been undertaken for this contract for an expression of interest and the selective tender submissions. 2, authorise the General Manager enter into negotiations and execute a supply contract with the preferred tenderer, Nucleus 3 Proprietary Limited, for the supply and installation of smart metering installation of backflow prevention devices, including software maintenance for a period of 5 years to a maximum contract value of $2,866,239 ex-GST. And 3, an approve an additional amount of $993,139 from the bulk fund for the overall smart metering and backflow project budget to take the project budget to $3,559,939. Bit of an mouthful.
Thank you. Item two.
That's the wrong report. Here it is. Gallons Road consolidation of workplaces. Recommendation that Council 1 receive a note of report. 2, for the purposes of SS553I and 553NI of the Local Government Act 1993 and the regs 170A of the Local Government Regulation 2021, endorses the procurement approach as described in the report, including the reimbursement of sub-consultant fees as part of the development application process.
Thank you.
Neil.
Sure. Let's close the meeting. Thanks everyone for your attendance, and have a safe trip home.
Thank you.
Thank you.